Romans chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 9 and 10. And verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." And as we look at these passages, we saw last week the beginning there is how God is instructing us to love one another as He loves us. And that love was the agape love, the sacrificial love that God has, and the love that we need to have to sacrifice to meet needs and encourage and to be a help to others. But you know, maybe some of you have heard the little poem, it's nothing new, but a poem that goes like this: "To live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, now that's a different story." And sometimes that can be sadly true, that we struggle to love each other like we ought to. And today we're going to be looking at that aspect of love. Last week, as we saw love, the love was the giving love, the sacrificial love, the love that He says we're to have for one another, yes, but for God and for our neighbor, and for those around us, a sacrifice, a willingness to sacrifice to try to be a help and a blessing. And today we're going to be looking at two other kinds of love that we find here in verse number 10. And so as we look at them this morning, I want us to see here the instructions that God gives us to help us to be able to love right. God wants us to love right. And we saw last week how we can apply that to agape love, the love that we sacrifice with. But now let's look at verse 10. It says, once again in verse 10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." As we look at this verse, we start here with this first phrase, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love." There's two different Greek words that are used here for love. The first one addresses "be kindly affectioned." The second one deals with brotherly love. And both of them are important for us to understand, because if we don't understand what we're supposed to do, it's pretty hard to do what we don't understand. And so, as we look at this, the first word there is that's translated "be kindly affectioned." It's actually a compound word, two different words put together. And so you can gain insight from looking at both of those different words. The first one is the word philos, which means to be friendly. So he's emphasizing a friendly type of a love. The second word is the word storge, and that word emphasizes more of a cherishing kin, cherishing your kin. It's the cherishing part between a husband and a wife, not the romantic part necessarily, not the intimate part, but the cherishing part of that love relationship. The cherishing part between a parent and their child. And so here God is telling us here that this kind of love here, when you put those together, the friendship and that cherishing, so there needs to be a fond, cherishing friendship love that he addresses here first, and it's translated here, "be kindly affectioned," to have that affectionate love that needs to be there. I like what Ed Wheat said about the word storge. He said the storge is a kind of love that describes a comfortable old shoe relationship comprised of natural affection and a sense of belonging to each other. It's that we belong to each other. We're together. We appreciate each other. And we need that kind of a love amongst us. Now, he's talking about brotherly love here. The love for each other, and we're going to dig into that in just a moment here, but when he talks about "be kindly affectioned," it's a natural love, affection that we ought to have, just as a parent has an affectionate love for their children. That's the kind of love he's dealing with here. And so it needs to be the basis of it. And then he goes on to the second half, and he says, "be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love." All right, the word brotherly love here is the word Philadelphia. And I mention that because it's important for us to have a little bit of an idea when you're studying these things. If you look them up, you need to be able to know what it's dealing with there as well. So Philadelphia love is the love between brothers and sisters. You might say, "Well, I don't love my brother or sister." Well, we're supposed to love our brothers and sisters, all right? And there is a natural love between siblings that we need to have in order to be able to have a happy life. And if you've been reared in a happy home, there ought to be a genuine love for your brothers and sisters. Now, I know they can all, you know, they're all different, and we can have some scraps between us, and we don't always get along. But when it comes down to the, you know, bottom line, we're going to be there to defend each other. We're going to be there to help each other and to be with each other and encourage each other. And we you know, some families, I know I've known some families that were real huggy and kissy type families. You know, I mean, every time they saw their brother or sister, they'd give them a hug and a kiss and a thing. You know, well, my brother and I didn't, and sister and I didn't do that. I mean, we loved each other, but we weren't the huggy-kissy kind, you know. But some, every family's a little bit different, and it doesn't matter. This isn't the aspect of it here. The idea here is that we're gonna be with each other, we're gonna defend each other, we're gonna love each other, we're gonna support each other, and we love because we're brothers and sisters. And this is the kind of love he's talking about here. Now, as you look at this, right, he says that we're to be kindly affectionate, so there has to be that family bond, that affectionate bond. But he says, have that affectionate bond also blended with brotherly love. And the two of them bonded together. And he says, that's the kind of a relationship that we're supposed to have with each other as Christians. And sadly, it's not always that way. And we need to work on developing that and developing a love with each other. And you know, before we can really understand love, you know, that's one of the things that's really sad in our world today is when people we talk about God loves you and God is your heavenly father, and people say, oh, if he's anything like my father, I don't trust him. All right? And sadly, that's what's often the case. Many people haven't had a loving father, that it was a good father. And if that's the case in your situation, then what you need to do is you need to just look at the Bible and study out what God says about himself and about his character. God is a loving father, and a father that we can depend on, a father that we can to lean on, and that he will support us and strengthen us and help us. God is a God of love. But it's also true with our brothers and sisters. You know, if you didn't have that kind of a relationship with your brother and sister that was a loving relationship, perhaps you have some problems even now with your brother or sister, and you just don't get along with them. You know, these kind of things, we need to settle that. God doesn't want us to have a relationship with our brothers and sisters, physically brother and sister, our biological brother and sisters, that is not right. And we ought not to have bitterness there. There ought not to be animosity between us. Now, they may never, you know, if they just don't like you and you just don't get along, they may never become, you know, real close to you, but you need to make sure that you don't have bitterness toward them. You need to have a love between your brothers and sisters, physically, your biological brothers and sisters, because that will help us then to understand how to love one another as Christians. And God is in this passage just instructing us on loving our brothers and sisters. And this morning as I was going over the message again and in my preparation, I thought, you know, I want to share several verses that will help you be able to see the different aspects of friendship. You know, we need a friendship that there ought to be fellowship between us. You know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to have fellowship. You know, we ought to be, and this morning, honestly, I can say this before we even start. I'm not rebuking you folks for your love for one another. As far as I know, we've got a pretty loving church, all right? So, but we're just discussing this so we can grow in it, all right? And, you know, we need to have fellowship with each other. Have each other over for times of fellowship. Just not for anything important, just to spend some time together. That's important. That we need to support each other during times of sickness. Encourage each other. A phone call or a text message or something just to be an encouragement during times of sickness. And to just be the friend there that they need. To be an encouragement. You know, encouraging is very important. And that's all part of being a friend. And we need to have that kind of a bond in between us that we're building up each other, carrying each other's burdens. Now, obviously, if somebody's got a big burden, you can't actually resolve the burden for them most of the time. But you can be there to be an encouragement to them, to try to hold them up, to help them, to try to be a blessing to them. And they may need help, maybe in a physical way. They may need help. You know, some of our folks don't have the ability to take care of certain things. Maybe it's a repair in their house or a repair in their yard or some help in some other area. And we can lend a hand to be a help. These are all part of being a friend. And another thing that we mentioned on Wednesday night, I believe it was, that's so important as aspect of friendship is being willing to share things that we've learned from the Bible with each other. That's important. And we need to do that. And folks, I have to work on this because, you know, there's not too many of you that I've come up to and said, let me share with you what I learned this morning in my Bible reading. I haven't done that like I should. And most of us don't do that like we should. We really need to do that. Be learning from the Bible. Be open about it with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And be willing to share what you've learned. And that can be a help and an encouragement to each other. And so we need to learn to open up like that. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he was actually in John 15, he was dealing with his disciples about the whole aspect of love. And just a couple of verses there in John 15, he said in verse number 9, as the Father has loved me, even so have I loved you, continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Then down in verse number 12, he says, this is the commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then he says in verse 13, greater loveth no man than this, that a man laid on his life for his friends. Now I realize Jesus in that passage was using the word agape, but he was still talking, applying it to working with each other. And he says, we need to love one another as he loved us. That's important. We need to learn to love others as God loves us. And he says, greater love is no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You know, that is the ultimate sacrifice. That's the ultimate of sharing ourselves with someone else, is to be willing to die for them or to die with them, whatever the case may be. But then over in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is full of information that can be a help to us in regard to the subject of love. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. He's saying here, we need each other in times of difficulty, in times of adversity, in times of hardship. We need to stick together and help each other and be an encouragement to each other. That's what love's all about. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. It says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If we're going to gain friends, we need to be a friend. That's very important. We need to learn to be a friend in order to gain friends. You know, sometimes people say, well, those people just aren't very friendly. But if you hide in the corner and you never show yourself friendly to them, it's kind of hard for people to come up. You know, if they try to come up and say hi to you and say, hi, and you don't talk to them, you won't communicate with them, you're not going to be able to gain much friendship. So open up, share your heart, and be a friend to others, and let them be a friend to you. So God says we need to do that in order to gain friendship. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 6. Proverbs 27 and verse number 6 is another verse. He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, we don't often think of this as something for a friend, but it's important. The wounds of a friend. In other words, as your friend, if I come up to you and say, my friend, there's something you need to work on, because I can see it's going to hurt you if you don't deal with it. And you say, oh, you know, we have a temptation in our heart to say, mind your own business. But God says a good friend is going to point out a need. And if we ignore that, you know, if there's a need in my life and you don't point it out to me and I don't know it, or if my wife doesn't point it out to me and I don't see it, how am I going to change it? So we need each other to say, here's an issue that you need to work on. And you might not even realize this. And I tell you this in love. I'm not trying to beat you up, but I'm trying to be your friend. And he says here, a friend faithful are the wounds of a friend. And a friend will genuinely wound each other. And as husband or wife, we need to lovingly wound each other when there's a need and say, listen, this needs to be worked on. We can't let that go. That's not right. And those kind of things often get neglected because we don't want to have someone upset with us. I mean, I know what that's like. There's probably none of us in here any more affected by this than me. I don't like to offend people. But at the same time, sometimes I have to. I don't like that. And sometimes I do it when I'm not supposed to. I offend somebody. And then I have to humble myself and say, I'm sorry, what I said wasn't right, I didn't handle that right, please forgive me. We've got to do with those kind of things. But at the same time, we need someone to tell us when we've done wrong, and that's very important. And he said that's the work of a friend. A friend loves even in times like that. We see also Proverbs 27, and look at verse number 9. Proverbs 27 and verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. What's he saying there? He's saying counsel. When we are able to give someone some good counsel, that's sweet to the soul. That's a help to them. You try to help someone, you share your heart with them, you tell them some things that will be a help to them, an encouragement to them, of building them up and strengthening them, helping them spiritually, showing them some scripture verses that can be of help to them. If they come to you and they have a need, we need to open up the scriptures to them. You know, sometimes people will come to us and they start complaining and say, oh, did you know this? Did you hear what they did? You know, and they start complaining. What we need to do is say, I know, let's just stop and think about this a minute, all right? God's in control, and we need to respond right, and complaining is not what God wants us to do, and we need to deal with this. What's the real issue here? Well, let's look at the problem here. Let's try to resolve this. And take them back to the scripture and help them. You know, you say, well, I don't want to, you know, be a preacher at them. Well, maybe we need to be sometimes. In a loving way, as brothers and sisters, we need to help each other. And if we don't help each other, we're really not loving each other. We need to help each other when there's a need. And so we need to reach out and be a blessing and be a help to each other. Proverbs 27, verse number 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You need to ask yourself, are you sharpening your friends? Are you making them a better person because they've been around you? If they hang around you and they become a worse person, then you're not helping them, you're hurting them. And if you hang around them and they make you a worse person, they're not sharpening you either. He says, iron sharpens irons, a man sharpens his friend. And so we need to have the kind of friends that are building us up, sharpening us. Every time you're with them, you say, you know, every time I'm with that person, I feel like I go away with a greater passion to serve God, a greater love for the Lord. That's the way it ought to be. But sadly, many times it's not that way. And if your friends are taking you the other direction, you need to get different friends. And just ask God to help you to have the kind of friends that will build you up and that you can be the kind of friend that will build up others. And you know, if you make it your passion to lovingly, tenderly, biblically build up your friends, if they aren't the kind of people that want to be edified and built up spiritually, they'll take off and you'll be able to find some different kind of friends. But we need to do what's right. And God wants us to be that kind of a friend that will be a blessing and a help. One last verse over in the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see verse 11. He says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Edify one another. You know, as a friend, we need to edify, build up, strengthen, encourage one another. And so, as we think about this instruction here, the Apostle Paul says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. So he says, we need to have that affectionate feeling toward one another, like a brother or sister, and he says that we need to have that to be among us as Christians so that we can be all that God wants us to be. And we can share the kind of friendship. We can be a help and an encouragement. We can build up. We can sharpen. We can wound if necessary, but we can be a help and a blessing to those around us. Pray for my voice. It's starting to go. But then he goes on here, And he says that, he says, be kindly affectioned one to another. That one to another is important. He's saying here it's reciprocal. It's not just me loving you, it's you loving me. It's not just you loving the person next to you, it's you, the other person loving you. It is reciprocal. It goes both directions. And so we need to make sure that our love goes both directions. It's not just one direction love. It's a both direction love. And it, you know, that is true in our spiritual relationship with others. You know, some members may be less lovable than others. That's true in the physical world as well. All right? Our brothers and sisters may not all be super lovable people. And not every Christian is going to be a super lovable Christian. And some Christians are more demanding than others. They need more help. They need more encouragement. Others are bubbly and easy to love. And, you know, everybody loves them. But we're not all alike. And God doesn't expect us to all be alike. But we need to take that into consideration and realize that we need to work at loving each other even when we're not very lovable. Also, as we think about this, the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, he says, but as touching brotherly love, ye know, ye need not that I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He said, this idea of loving one another is something that we learn from God. If you know Christ your Savior, the Spirit of God will put that in your heart. We need to love one another. We need to care for each other. And, you know, love is not just giving people everything they need or everything they want, but it's there, being there to meet needs, being there to encourage, being there to help, being there to lift up, being there to be a blessing to each other. And we need to work diligently at doing that with each other. And sometimes there's somebody that'll come that maybe we don't know very well. Maybe when new people come that you say, well, I don't even know who they are. And so I don't want to go talk to them because I'm scared of them. No. Open up. Go talk to them and say, hi, I'm so-and-so. And I, you know, I'm just introducing myself. And, you know, what's your name? And glad you're here. And get to make them feel welcome. That's important. That's important. Friendship is opening up and trying to be a blessing and help to others. And, you know, one of the great things about Christian love between brethren is that you don't even need to know the person. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have a bond. And that's an important thing. I remember years ago when I was a young lad and I went off to Bible camp. And that particular year, I didn't know anybody. Well, I shouldn't say I didn't know anybody. Of the campers that were there, I knew almost nobody. And a few that I did know were just kind of, I know who they are type of people. And one of the boys that was in my cabin, he and I just really bonded. And it was only because we knew the Lord. I didn't know him from anywhere. And he was from a different part of the state. We'd never seen each other before, but we were all almost instantly friends. And you know, that's the way it ought to be between genuine Christians. Now, not all Christians or those that call themselves Christians are necessarily the kind of person you want to have close friendship with. You need to be discerning, but at the same time, we can be friendly even toward people that we don't want to be close friends with. All right? And there may be some people that you know that are Christians, but you know that every time you're around them, instead of building you up, it tears you down. Then, you know, be friendly, but don't necessarily make them your friend, a close friend. So we need to be discerning on all these things. But he says here that we need to have this brotherly love one to another. And Peter emphasizes this in his epistles. And then even as Peter in his last epistle mentions in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, he gives a list of things we need to add to our faith. And at the end of the list, he says, add to your faith the brotherly kindness and the brotherly kindness, love. And he says, that's important. So the Apostle Paul wrote about it. Peter wrote about it. Others wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it. Why? Because love is a very important thing. We need to have love one for another. That is an important aspect. We need to have that in us. And as we look back at our text, in verse number 10, once again, he says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Then notice the last of the verse. That's the emphasis of the verse. In honor, preferring one another. What's that mean? Well, as we pull that apart, it's a fairly complicated translation because the Hebrew Greek words are kind of hard for us to put it all together very clearly as in our English. But it has the idea there. You know, you look up the word preferred. If you look that up in the English dictionary for preferred there, well, it has several different definitions. One of the main definitions is the one that we would often think of. It means to like better or to value more highly. Preferred. All right? But one of the secondary definitions is probably the one that is used here, and that is that it means to promote over another or to advance to a higher station. To prefer, to lift something else up. The idea he's dealing with here is honoring one another, lifting up another. And as you look at the actual word that is translated preferred here, it actually means to go before or to lead. To go before or to lead. So what he's saying here in the context, he's saying we need to go before, we need to lead in honoring one another. Now, in the context of loving your brothers and sisters, he says lead in honoring one another. Lifting up someone else. Being a help to someone else. Don't sit back and say, well, I'll be friendly to them when they're friendly to me. No, he says, be a leader in this. Step out and lead and be loving toward one another. Honor them. Lift them up. Be an encouragement to them. Help them. Be a blessing to them. And God is just encouraging us here to be an aggressive blessing to other people. Make it your passion to be a blessing to others. You know, our own sinful nature tends to be a blessing to me. You know, we take care of ourselves. And that's the emphasis of the world, you know. Take care of yourself and step on anybody you have to in order to progress in life. And they don't worry about anybody else, really. But God says just the opposite. He says, no, put others ahead of yourself. There's a little poem that I've often quoted. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this your my passion be. Let me live for others that I might live like thee. And we need to live a life for others, to be a blessing to others. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. He says, put other people ahead of yourself. Be a blessing to others instead of yourself. And if we would practice that, it would be a help in our families, in our relationships with others, in our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, in every area of life, if we would esteem others better than ourselves, it would make a big difference in a blessing in our overall ministry and emphasis to help other people. And so we need to be looking at this and considering this and asking the Lord to help us in this area. All right? And so as we think about this, putting others first, esteeming others, let me just give you some verses here that can be of help or some other verses how this is applied and how we can put it into practice to be a help. We find, and when we think about honoring others, that, you know, the scriptures talk about honoring those who are older than us, the aged. You know, that we need to hold them in respect and honor. Very important. Young people need to learn that, to respect the elders. And very biblical truth that needs to be here. We need to also honor our parents. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. God says, honor your father and mother. That's the first commandment was promise. Honor them. That means to lift them up. It means to esteem them, to hold them in respect, and to honor your parents. We need to care for the widows. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 talks about caring for the widows that are widows indeed. They don't have anybody to help them. We need to pitch in and help and be an encouragement to them. Also, we need, the scriptures talk about caring for the preachers. And you know, the day's coming that you're going to need to have your own pastor. I'm just your founding pastor and your missionary pastor, but when I retire or when I step down and the Lord's able to bring in another man to preach, you're going to need to take care of him. And he talks about honoring your preacher and caring for him, meeting those needs. Then also, there's honoring those who deserve honor. You know, there's just some people that deserve honor. And those are the things we need to look for and say, you know, that person has been a blessing. And I needed to show them that I respect and honor them. And give them a call or do something special for them. Or be, in some other way, be an encouragement to them. To just let them know that they were a blessing to you. And that can be a way of showing honor to those. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Also, we need to honor our masters or employers. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1 deals with that. And then honoring our wife. First Peter chapter 1 verse, or 3 verse 7 tells us, men, to honor our wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. He said we are to honor our wife, hold her in esteem, lift her up. And then we are to honor all men and honor the king. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. So these are some practical ways that God gives us to show honor, to lift up others. But he emphasizes, this is the emphasis of the verse here, and we see this in both verses 9 and 10. He starts out with the command, and then he makes an application. In verse number 9, we saw, let love be without dissimulation. And then he said, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. So he's making the application, we're to hate the bad and we're to love the good and put that into practice as we love and to do what's right. And then he says in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. How? In honor, preferring one another, lifting up each other, honoring, esteeming, encouraging, being a blessing, being a help to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to make that a priority in life. And you know, if we sought to live for others instead of living for ourselves, it would build a bond of love amongst us. And we can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. You know, that is one of the things that all of us, we need to be doing regularly, is praying for each other. And Wednesday nights, we hand out a little prayer sheet. It's got the names of everybody that comes to church on it. And if you don't have one, you just ask me and I'll get you one. But pray for one another. Pray for one another. Every day, if we would all pray for each other and say, you know, I'm going to pray for each one of them by name and remember who they are and pray for them, that'd be a big blessing. That's something all of us can do. And so there's ways of being a blessing, ways of being the friend that we need to be. But God says, I want you to be a friend. And I want you to love others like with that brotherly love, that family affection, that intimate, more of the affectionate family affection that we have. He says that's what we need in our church family. And so this morning, as we consider this, as believers, we are privileged to be part of a Christian family. And our other true Christians are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And learning to love right means learning how to love them the way God wants us to love, with a sacrificial love and an agape love like we saw last week. But then also with that family love, that bonding love, that affectionate love that cares about our daily needs, very important as well. So we need to work on both of those. You know, if your love for fellow Christians is not up to God's standard, then just ask God to help you. You know, all of us, I think, could probably work on this more. I know I need to work on it. You know, to just be more loving and more caring and more observing. You see a need in someone's life and say, Lord, help me to be more observing so I can see, yeah, they look like they're having a hard time. Go encourage them. You know, sometimes you just see people that look like they're depressed or down or discouraged. Go talk to them a bit and see if you can be in help and encouragement. There's all kinds of things we can do to show brotherly love amongst each other. So let's just ask God to help us to improve in that area. But you know, as we all come down to the bottom line of this, It's impossible to show brotherly love for other Christians if you're not a Christian. That's where it has to start. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're not positive of that, you're not going to be able to love each other like you're supposed to, because you don't really have anything in common. Really, deep down inside, if you don't know Christ, you have no common bond with the others. There's nothing there cementing you together. And you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you this morning, if you're not positive of your relationship with the Lord, you're not sure that you're really saved, come see me. Let me have a talk with you. Let's go through the scriptures and just help you to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can get that settled and have that taken care of in your heart so that you can truly love like God wants you to love.